Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard how it was said, 'You must love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In this way you will be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on bad men as well as good, and his rain to fall on honest and dishonest men alike. For if you love those who love you, what right have you to claim any credit? Even the tax collectors do as much, do they not? And if you save your greeting for your brothers, are you doing anything exceptional? Even the pagans do as much, do they not? You must therefore be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The word of the Lord. This passage from the Sermon on the Mount is central to Christian ethics. I believe that there is no word in the English language that is more widely used than love, or should I say so comprehensively. It is regrettable that in English there are not synonyms for the different kinds of love, such as in Greek we have agape, or eros, or philia. Love meaning real affection for somebody, whether male or female, and is very different from lust or just a liking for something. In English, for example, we hear that one person loves a particular food such as caviar or beef burgers, or another loves ice cream. Equally, people love cats or stick insects or snakes. They love going on holiday or their iPhone. In fact, the things or actions people say they love is innumerable. But what do Christians really feel about the word love, and what do we mean? Jesus never asked us to love our enemies in the same way as we love our family and friends. He uses a different word. It is not possible to love our enemies in the same way, with affection. In English, most of us use the word love daily as non-Christians do. But what do we mean when we say we love God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit? Although I did hear a Jesuit priest question whether one could love an abstract. Mary, or a particular saint, or our neighbour, can one love somebody whom we have never met physically? Love, in the context of the verses above, is not an emotion of the heart, but it is a decision, that is, of the mind. When we decide to keep God's commandments, we love God in doing so. As John says, if we love God himself and do what he has commanded us, this is what loving God is, keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not difficult. 1 John 5. So love in this sense has nothing to do with emotion. It's a matter of one's will and a matter of grace, without which we can do nothing. Deuteronomy 6. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is the one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Let these words I urge you today be written on your heart. You shall repeat them to your children and say them over to them, whether at rest in your house or walking abroad, at your laying down or at your rising. When we do as he bids us, that is, love our neighbour, does not mean that we have a personal affection for them. How could we possibly do so when we may know nothing about them? This teaching about loving one's neighbour is a step even further from the old ideas. In the old law, justice meant revenge. Revenge was the object, and there appeared to be no limit to the idea of how this could end, which led to constant vengeance. A single wrong led to war between tribes and death to many, even innocents. An eye for an eye was an improvement. But even here it was hardly possible to be absolutely equal, as somebody's eye or tooth could be more of a loss to the innocent than the loss might be to the guilty, and vice versa. A bad tooth for a good one, for example, or perhaps some people were toothless. Recompense or revenge was put before judges, and they would decide what the guilty party should pay, whether it was tit for tat or by money. Mercy forgives any debt, but is not unjust or sinful to seek payment of that debt, but retaliation is. To hear Jesus say that we must love our enemies must have sounded ridiculous to his hearers. We cannot love them without his grace. We cannot do this in our own strength, but only in his. Love one another as I have loved you. How many of us would be willing to be put to death for the sake of a stranger's soul? Thanks to his mercy, few of us are given the choice. The law of an eye for an eye sought to put an end to evil practices of revenge. It appears in the earliest code of laws, as we read in Exodus 21. When a man causes disfigurement in his neighbor, as he has done, it shall be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has disfigured a man, he shall be disfigured. These same reprisals are also found in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy. Revenge brought more and more suffering, and so more and more sin. But this newer law limited vengeance. The Lord, however, removes the occasions of sin by saying that we must love our enemies, and that leads to perfect peace. Punishment, of course, can be a kindness. A parent is not considered a good one if his child is allowed to complete freedom to do as the child wishes. Punishment should always be used as a corrective and an eye-opener as to the effects of our misdemeanors. Used for revenge, it never brings peace or understanding. Jesus was talking about personal relationships more than other aspects of love of one's neighbor. He is speaking personally to each one of us. Being human with our weaknesses, we might wish to harm those who have caused a death or other great harm to our loved ones. But this is and never was Christ's way. In fact, seeking revenge causes only more heartbreak and sin. I believe only those who have Christ teaching in their hearts can not only really forgive a wrong, but add a blessing. When robbed of goods by somebody who is not in great need, then a Christian, a follower of Christ, is more concerned for the spiritual good of the thief than for the goods taken. It causes good rather than harm when revenge is not sought, or even the return to the goods. For the loss of worldly things is nothing compared with the harm the thief does to his own soul, or ours, if we only seek our goods. We not only seek our goods, but also revenge. This is not the same as justice, and it is not to say that the restoration of goods is not important, but the thief's soul is more important. The Lord teaches that the Christian mind is most patient and is always prepared to give more than is expected. And this reading of these verses sums up the life of a real Christian. Loving one's enemies means we must turn the other cheek, to give rather than receive, to give more of one's gifts or goods than time than is expected, to ignore insults and respond with kindness, not standing up for one's rights, but to help others receive what they need, and so on. In this way, we will be following our Lord's teaching on how to find eternal happiness and fulfillment. These few but comprehensive verses need a lifetime to explore in all they signify, so I leave you with the Lord's own words to sum it up. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation.